And welcome back to Midday on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday afternoon. That means it's time for our weekly theater review with our Midday theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Judy, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks, Tom.
Great. We're going to review a show that's at the Spotlighters Theater. But before we do, Judy, we got a very thoughtful email from a gentleman responding to your email, or to your review, rather, last week of a play called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is at the Kennedy Center in Washington. And you want to tell us a little bit about that and perhaps respond to some of the points that he made?
Yes, I would like to do that, Tom. So last week in my review, I stated that the central character is a boy who has high-functioning autism, what used to be called Asperger's. Autism is a term that appears in much of what has been written about Mark Haddon's 2003 novel of the same name, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, and in the play, including in the play's official study guide. After the broadcast, as you mentioned, we were contacted by an individual who initially wrote under the name Curious on Screen. He later identified himself to us as an autistic man living in Australia, and he asked that we not identify him by name. In his email, he says, an email that he says, by the way, that he has sent to every media outlet that's reviewed The Curious Incident, in that email, he contends that the story's main character does not fit the profile of someone on the autism spectrum. Haddon, the novelist, has pointed out that he does not use the words Asperger's or autism, a point that the play's website and press material acknowledge by describing the central character as, quote, exceptionally intelligent, but ill-equipped to interpret everyday life. That's an accurate description, Tom, and a point that I'd like to acknowledge as well.
All right. We are grateful for that very thoughtful email from our listener in Australia, and grateful for all of the feedback and comments that we get here on Midday. So today, Judy, we want to talk about this show that's at the Audrey Herman Spotlighters Theater. It's called Das Barbecue. This is a musical theater version slash takeoff of all things, The Ring Cycle, which is Wagner, Richard Wagner's great quartet of operas. It's set in Texas. The question comes to mind, why in God's name would someone want to make a musical theater version of The Ring Cycle set in Texas?
Well, Tom, not only did someone want to do it, but the Seattle Opera commissioned Das Barbecue in 1991 as a companion piece to their productions of The Ring Cycle. They had certain stipulations. It had to have only five actors, and it could only run 90 minutes. Later, it got some more songs. It got longer. I interviewed the show's creators, composer Scott Warrender and librettist Jim Lugs, in the early 1990s. Warrender, I have to say, before he did Das Barbecue, he had done a review called The Texas Chainsaw Manicurist. And he's the one who came up with the idea of doing a country western score for Das Barbecue, because that's an accessible form. And from there, it was a very short jump to Texas. The show had a workshop production at the Goodspeed Opera House in Connecticut, and then the next full production was at Center Stage here in 1994. That's when I talked to the creators. Texas is a very funny context for this material, and it does work well musically. I brought a bit of the opening song. I want you to listen carefully for the clip-clop of the horse's hooves. You're going to hear the whole cast singing about the all-powerful magic gold ring. The ring in the show, by the way, is a very large nut of the nut and bolt variety, the hardware variety, painted gold.
All right, from the creators of The Texas Chainsaw Manicurist, Ring of Gold from Das Barbecue, a takeoff of Wagner's Ring Cycle. For folks who don't know The Ring Cycle, Wagner, of course, considered one of the greatest composers in history, a 19th century German composer. The Ring Cycle is four really, really long operas. I happen to not be a Wagner fan, by the way. I must out myself about this. I'm one of those people who believes that Wagner's music is better than it sounds. You know, I mean, it's famous, but I'm not sure it's great. But it's four really long operas. The plot is unbelievably long and twisted. How do you boil all that down to 90 minutes of musical theater in Texas?
Well, not being a Wagner fan might be a reason to see Das Barbecue. And you might think that, well, everything is bigger in Texas. But Wagner's Ring Cycle becomes considerably smaller in Das Barbecue. And there is a precedent for streamlining. I'm sure you're familiar with Anna Russell. She did a 20-minute version of the Ring Cycle. The Spotlighters program devotes four full pages to a summary of the plot. It all comes from Norse mythology, which in itself is a pretty bizarre source. To further help clarify this complicated plot, the cast explains it with visual aids, with posters, with pictures in the beginning. The show really focuses on the plot of the fourth opera, Götterdämmerung, The Twilight of the Gods. And I'm going to try to explain Das Barbecue's plot as best I can, even shorter form.
Good luck, and Godspeed.
So, bear with me here. So this is an opera, Götterdämmerung, in which Siegfried, the grandson of the head god, Wotan, winds up engaged to two women. Brunhilde, who happens to be his aunt and happens to have spent 20 years on a rock surrounded by fire.
You know, stuff happens.
And Gutrune Gebitsch, whose half-brother is trying to get that all-powerful gold ring away from Siegfried. So the wedding mix-ups are one thread of the plot of Das Barbecue, and the other main thread is Wotan trying to get the ring back. It definitely helps to brush up on your Wagner. I hope that abridgment helps.
So five actors play all of these roles. So how does that work? I mean, do they change their clothes a lot? I mean, do they use name tags? How does it work? How do you keep them straight?
Well, the cast breaks down to two men and three women at Spotlighters, directed by Greg Bell, and they are indeed playing a ton of characters, more than two dozen characters. I have to say, I felt in this case, this multiple casting had some justification because practically everybody is related to practically everybody else in this mythology and in this opera. Remember, I just said Siegfried, one of his fiancées is his aunt. But no, there are no name tags, and I don't even know if that would help. There are very fast costume changes. In fact, the program lists two dressers, and I don't ever remember seeing that kind of listing in a community theater production.
Dressers are the folks who help the actors get their clothes
exactly,
on and off.
Exactly, backstage.
In
yeah,
scenes.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks for explaining that.
Interesting.
And these are really strange and wide-ranging characters. I mean, one of the men, an actor, very versatile, named Rob Wall, plays a giant. The giants in this show are construction workers. He also plays a good old boy, and he plays one of the Norn sisters. These are the sisters described by their father, Wotan, as, in this case, weirdo women of the Texas underworld. There's an actor named Jim Gross who plays Wotan with an eye patch, and he wears a plaid flannel shirt, and he also plays Alberic the dwarf in a very, very big cowboy hat, and he's one of the giant construction workers. So he plays a god, a dwarf, and a giant. And he's
all in a day's
work.
Oh,
yeah, and he's really good as sort of a dirtball Texan, I have to say. But the strangeness, too, the three women, Andrea Bush, Allison Komoto, Claire Kneebone, they're very, very funny as the Rhine Maidens. Here they're just called River Maidens, and they are synchronized swimmers in an unheated above-ground pool. So they sneeze their way through their big number, which is called After the Gold is Gone. Allison Komoto and Claire Kneebone are also really funny as the two battling brides who bond over their uneaten wedding barbecue banquet. And Andrea Bush alone, she wins the prize in this production because she plays eight roles. I have to say, and maybe it's because of all the quick changing, I don't know, but I couldn't get all of her lyrics when she's singing fast. She's doing everything fast in the show, obviously. But this was also true of some of the choral work, and the lyrics are clever.
Interesting. It sounds like either a really good time or a complete mess. I haven't quite figured it out yet. When I remember listening to the Ring Cycle, and the last time I listened to it was when I was a graduate student in music school, I don't recall very much country western music in the opera. Obviously, with the little clip you played at the beginning, it had some country western. What's the deal with that?
Well, I have to say to start with that I'm a country western fan, so I'm predisposed to this sort of thing. Country western songs tell stories. They have a lot of drama, so in that sense, they do make sense in an opera. Here are some of the song titles. Hogtie Your Man, Slide a Little Closer, Ring of Fire. But I'm going to play, this will give you another example, a number sung by Siegfried and Gutrune when they first meet, and in the show, it's sung in a backwoods honky-tonk. The song is called Rodeo Romeo. See if this will change your mind.
I'm crying already.
Rodeo Romeo.
right. Rob Wall and Allison Camado singing Rodeo Romeo in Das Barbecue. So, Judy, as we finish up here, the musicals, this is a pretty small-scale affair. That seems to me it would suit the Spotlighters. What do you think? Is this a good fit?
Well, yes, it is a good fit, but Tom, they make it harder on themselves than they need to because they cart on and off all of these properties and set pieces, a boat, a bed, topiaries, the banquet table for the barbecue with all the food. There's a large brick barbecue, and that slows things down. And the direction as a whole really could be a little swifter. The director, Greg Bell, says in the program that he was in a production The Vagabonds did in 2001. I saw that production. I saw it at Center Stage. Das Barbecue obviously, you know, gets my barbecue sauces simmering. I continue to find some of the plot twists and turns a bit confusing. I have to say, you don't have to know the Ring Cycle to appreciate the show. You don't have to be a Wagner fan. It does help to brush up a little. The actors are all very, very game, and it's fun. This production proved even a little more overwhelming than I remember, but, you know, it's a great idea. It's not quite hee-haw.
It is a great idea.
It is. It's so clever. It's not quite hee-haw meets Wagner, but it's close.
There you go. Das Barbecue is at the Audrey Herman Spotlighters Theater on St. Paul Street in Baltimore until a week from Sunday. We'll have details on our website, wypr.org/midday. So, Judy, next week we're going to talk about the new show at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. What's that?
Yes, and it's not a Shakespeare play. It's Maxwell Anderson's Anne of the Thousand Days.
There
so I'm
go.
Looking forward to
I'm
that.
I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm guessing somebody dies at the end of this one. That's what I'm guessing. All right, that's it for us today. Thanks, Judy. Coming up tomorrow, midday at the museums. Christopher Bedford took over the reins of the Baltimore Museum of Art last August. You'll join me along with curator Katie Rothkopf to talk about the big new show at the BMA. It juxtaposes the work of Henri Matisse and Richard Diebenkorn. Plus, Marvin Pinkert, the director of the Jewish Museum of Maryland, stops by to talk about their current exhibition, Beyond Chicken Soup, Jews and Medicine in America. That's all coming up on Midday Friday. Thanks to Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guests today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features unique sandwiches and salads with specials each day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. You can always find Midday online anytime. Come to wypr.org/midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for hanging with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.